If you have your Bible this morning, Matthew chapter number 4, as we pick up in Matthew's Gospel once again as we're doing a devotional look through the Gospel of Matthew, and we've come to chapter number 4, and here what we see is the Lord Jesus entering in upon His actual public ministry. And what's going on here, Jesus of course has already been baptized, He's already had the temptation, we've been through those texts. But now He's actually entering in upon the work. And this is also centered around His ministry of revealing Himself as the gospel, as the good news. The gospel is not just a message, it's about a person. Yeah. And as Christians, we're not just following a religion, we're following a person.
Right.
And Jesus Himself is the gospel.
Right.
And so He enters in upon His ministry and the things that He does throughout His ministry, His teaching, His works, all of that are meant to point to certain things about Him. That He is the Son of God, that He is the long-expected Messiah. So many, many things, many themes from the Old Testament that were prophesied about the coming Messiah are given to us in Matthew's Gospel and the other Gospel writers as well. And here it is. Jesus is entering in upon that ministry as He makes those truths known to people. We're going to be in chapter 4. Let's read beginning in verse number 12 through 17. Now when He heard that John had been arrested, He withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, He went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, note this verse, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let me give you three simple truths from this passage this morning. And in the first place, from verses 12 to 14, as we think about the frame of reference, gospel ministry, we see that gospel ministry is according to the divine plan and purposes of God. Now, before the Lord Jesus came on to enter into His ministry, there was another man who had already been ministering. And of course, that was John the Baptist. And as we looked in Matthew's Gospel and we considered the life of John the Baptist, we learned that John the Baptist was just a herald. He was a pointer. He was a preacher. He was the one that was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And you're seeing here in this verse that that ministry of John is going off the scene and giving way to Jesus, who is the honored King. Because Matthew portrays Jesus over and over as the King. And so John gives way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you have reference to prophecies that were given in the Old Testament. Even speaking of from Isaiah the prophet, talking about things, certain things being fulfilled. Again, you look in the Old Testament and you see there was a lot of preparatory work that took place from the preaching of the prophets announcing the Messiah who was to come. And so what that shows me and what should show all of us today is that God is a God who has a plan. God is a God who has a purpose. When man fell into sin, God didn't institute plan B. God has always had a plan A. And His plan A has always gone according to a particular schedule, towards a calendar of events. You could even say that there is a heavenly calendar of events that are unfolding in perfect time. And here we see insight into that. As He's leaving where He's at, He's going into a particular place, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Again, there is a divine timetable. And so we learned the lesson that gospel ministry is according to the divine plan and purposes of God. The ministry that's going on in this room, in this building right now, today, is according to the divine plan and purposes of God. And we thank Him for that. Now, the second thing I want you to notice in verses 15 and 16 is that gospel ministry is for those who are in great need. Gospel ministry is for those who are in great need. The land, verse 15, of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now notice verse 16. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
You see, we search the pages of Scripture and we see that man has fallen into sin, that he is spiritually dead before God, and it's only through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that light dawns, and that the gospel is given so that men may be born again, so that they may see the great light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so gospel ministry, it's not for those who think they're righteous, it's for those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, as the text tells us. Brothers and sisters, men need the gospel. It is the only solution. It is the only thing that saves. There is nothing else. There is no other message. There is no other religion. There's nothing else that men can do. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we preach, and that's why we proclaim, because gospel ministry is for those who are in great need.
Yes, right.
A third truth from this passage in verse number 17 is that gospel ministry advances through the method of preaching the message of God's salvation in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Gospel ministry advances through the method of preaching the message of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. You'll notice verse number 17. From that time, what did Jesus do? He began to preach. Jesus was the greatest preacher that ever lived. He began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." There is the primacy here of preaching. Jesus enters into the message, into his ministry, preaching the kingdom of heaven. The good news is here. The kingdom of God is upon you. And if you're going to enter into that kingdom, if you're going to take part in this good news of the kingdom of God coming, then you must repent. And that was the message that was proclaimed. Mark says it in chapter 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. The message of the kingdom is before you. Brothers and sisters, preaching is good for men, isn't it?
Amen.
We do a world of good when we take the message of the gospel and proclaim that message. I know there are those who are called in an official sense to preach the gospel. It's what we're doing today. God has established elders and pastors to lead the people of God and to proclaim the message. But all of us who are Christians have a responsibility to share the gospel with other people. You as a father, your responsibility begins in your home to preach the gospel to your children, and then beyond that, in the places where you work, and the people that you run into, in the different environments and places where God gives you influence, all of us now are to be announcing and to be proclaiming the message that the kingdom has come, that Christ the Messiah has come, that there's good news for those who are in darkness and for those in death. It's Jesus Christ. And the message is, you must repent and you must believe the gospel and so be saved. God has preserved His power in the Word of God and in the proclamation of the Word of God.
Amen.
So Jesus Himself put a premium on preaching the Word of God. Let me just say a few things in conclusion this morning. Let's remember once again that the divine plan and purposes of God's salvation are being worked out in the earth in perfect time.
Amen.
And isn't it amazing today, as you sit in the pew listening to the Word of God, that you are directly in its path, and by the grace of God, He has given you exposure and opportunity.
Amen.
To what's been revealed in the Scripture.
Amen.
Amazing. His plan is working out in perfect time, and He has included you in that.
Amen.
Just by merely giving you opportunity and exposure to His Word. Do you realize today how many people are in the earth that do not have the same privilege that you have this morning of even hearing just what you've heard so far today?
Amen.
Think about it. There are people who will live and die. And I'm not just talking about in the far corners of the earth. There are people right here in America who will live and die without ever hearing the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Think of the privilege. Think of the opportunity. God is working out a plan, and by His grace has included you today just by giving you exposure and opportunity with His Word.
Amen.
Again, salvation is for those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death. In other words, it's for sinners. And the question that you need to ask yourself today, in light of what we've read in Matthew's gospel, is, have you seen yourself as a sinner in need? Have you come to the place in your own life where you have seen the need of repentance and believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because you yourself are in fact a sinner?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. We're sinners by nature, and we're also sinners by choice. Has God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the Word, has ever revealed that to you and showed you that the problems in your life aren't primarily because of all of your circumstances and your relationships and your friendships? Your problems today are because you're perhaps estranged from God.
Right.
Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen your need of the gospel because you are a sinner? And again, the good news message of God's salvation is before you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, and you can be a part of that through repentance. The repentance of your sin and faith in the Lord Jesus. Has that ever happened to you? Have you come to the place of repentance? Have you had a change of mind about your sin? Have you turned from sin and come on God's side of the table as He's pointed His finger at you for your sin, and you pointed your finger right back at yourself along with God,
right,
in agreement with Him, and seen the necessity to turn from sin and to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and so be saved? The message of the gospel today is that He stands ready to receive you.
Amen.
If you will repent and if you will believe upon Him, if you come to Him today, He will not turn you away. And if you haven't, I pray you will. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the glorious gospel.
Yes.
Lord, just in these few verses, we've seen Your love and Your grace and Your kindness in sending the Lord Jesus, and that there was a ministry there, and Jesus preached and preached the message of the kingdom and preached repentance and faith as the necessary entrance into that kingdom. And Lord, that message still stands today. Oh, and Father, the Scripture tells us that there were men in the past who longed to hear and to see the very things that we're talking about today. And Lord, I pray that there would be no one among us who would think this a light thing or a small thing, but that they would esteem the opportunity that has been put before them. Lord, that they would see the glory of Jesus. And Lord, I'm not just talking about lost people. I'm talking about those who have already been saved by Jesus. Father, that we would see today that this is still a day of exposure, a day of opportunity, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to see more of the glory of Jesus, and to take joy in the inheritance that we've been given, and to say the lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. Indeed, we have a beautiful inheritance, because we do. You've given us so much in the Lord Jesus. And we didn't deserve it. And we didn't go looking for it. And we didn't ask for it. It was in Your grace and in Your kindness that You came to us as You unfolded Your plan of redemption that has been determined from eternity past. And Lord, here we are today taking part in that, being exposed to Your Word. And Lord, that didn't have to happen. You didn't have to do that. You didn't owe us anything. We were rebels against You. We hated You. We hated Your cause. We shook our fist in rebellion to You. But in Your kindness and in Your love, You overcame and You conquered our rebellion at just the right time. And Father, we praise You today and we thank You for that. And we're here today to worship You because of Your kindness and because of Your goodness. Lord, if there are those among us who have yet to embrace the gospel, have yet to have their eyes open to the truth, have yet to have the light dawn on them, oh Father, that today would be the day, that this would be the day where they would see the blackness of their soul, and that they would see the light of the Lord Jesus and the fact that He is the only way of salvation. And Father, that they would be led in their sinfulness to call out and to be saved. What a glorious day it would be, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, we trust You that that's what You're doing in the earth, because You have established gospel ministry.
Amen.
Churches still stand and they still preach and they still proclaim a crucified Savior, because men need the Savior. And so, Lord, we hold Him up today and we pray that He would be exalted, and through that You would be glorified. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.